Und jetzt erledigt die Kirche. There are a few things that we discuss, but one of the, I think is more beneficial that more people get interested in this topic is about concentration and vipassana. We understand that this retreat we will practice metta, anapanasati, and vipassana. So how important or to what level of concentration we should cultivate before we actually practice vipassana? And how will this help us in our vipassana practice?
How
will this contribute to our progress in vipassana?
How concentration conducive to vipassana practice? Okay. Before I answer this question, I would like to quote a sutta first from Anguttara Nikaya. Ananda said to the monks, he said, "Oh monks, there are four types of people when they announce their attainment of arahantship. All of them are true four ways." So Ananda said there are only four ways. All the monks and then come to him, tell they attain arahantship. All are true, these four ways. The first one is they practice samatha first. After they practice samatha, then they move to vipassana. But Ananda didn't mention to what level of samatha. In the whole sutta, we did not see clearly what level of samatha, what level of concentration is needed. But whenever Buddha talked about concentration, he used to talk jhana, first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana. But directly, Buddha never said, you must attain jhana before you move to vipassana. That I never see in any sutta. And in this world, no one can say for sure. Say you must attain jhana before you can go into vipassana. No monk can dare to tell like that too. So Ananda also said that, so first group of person who attain arahantship is true, samatha first, then move to vipassana. Then they attain arahantship. Then second group, they start with vipassana first, then they move to samatha. And the third one, samatha and vipassana yoke together. Like two horses move together. It's called yogantara method. And the fourth one I think very real in this world. This person suddenly he has some sangweka, like spiritual urgency. Then from that he moved onward and attained arahantship. Maybe this type of person not in jhana, maybe. So if according to this answer, this reply. So if Buddha did not say clearly what level of concentration you need to go on your vipassana, then how can I say? Right? If Buddha did not say clearly, I also cannot say clearly because what I say is based on what Buddha said. But like Pao tradition, he emphasized a lot of jhana, excess concentration and absorption concentration. And many people also not agree with his view. People say no need so deep jhana, no need absorption jhana, no need excess concentration. But certain degree of concentration is needed. This one nobody will object. So I also cannot tell you what we must cultivate until what level of concentration in order to move to jhana, in order to move to vipassana. And another question is how concentration conducive to vipassana. That is very important. Concentration is very important for vipassana. No one will doubt about this because Buddha very often say, "Oh monk, develop concentration. When the mind is concentrated, one sees things as they really are." This mentioned many times already by the Buddha. A monk with concentrated mind sees things as they really are. But Buddha said, what level of concentration? Buddha did not say correctly or did not say precisely. If Buddha said precisely, then this question no more become question. It's very clear already, right? Because Buddha didn't say precisely, that's why a lot it become a controversial question. But we assume that certain level of concentration is necessary before you can achieve a liberation. But to what level, that very difficult to say. Of course, the deeper, the better. But how deep, we do not know. And somebody said that you need concentration, jhana, in order to achieve sotapan. Some people say no need. Some monks say no need jhana in order to attain sotapan. And in the commentary also mentioned, they are samatha jnanika. They are vipassana jnanika. Jnanika means vehicle. Some attain liberation through samatha first. Samatha jnanika. Vipassana jnanika is called in dry insight. No jhana. But to what level of concentration, no one can answer you. Because not mentioned clearly in the sutta. I also dare not to say. What if the sutta did not say, how can I say? Right? Okay. No more question? This one. No question?
Just
one. First one is from samatha to vipassana. Second one from vipassana to samatha.
The third one is a combination of.
Yeah.
Sangvega.
Sangvega. Actually, the Pali word say ucheta. Ucheta is restlessness. But we feel that restlessness, how can you know attain? So we think that it has another meaning, which is spiritual urgency. Like when you see something, for example, when you see something that arouses your spiritual urgency, then suddenly your insight from the past life, maybe, spring up. Then from that, you move on to contemplate impermanent suffering and non-self and attain liberation. That's what we interpret the Pali verses. Because sometimes Buddha say very, very short. There's no elaboration. So we, from our understanding, it should be like that. Finally, you have to go through vipassana. No vipassana, no liberation.
Samatha to vipassana, when you say samatha, is, I think there are two views. You enter into jhana, then you do samatha, vipassana, or you actually enter jhana and come out and do vipassana.
When we say after samatha, then move on to vipassana, we already understand. After we enter into jhana, we emerge from the jhana. Within the jhana itself, we cannot contemplate anicca dukkha anatta. Why? Because jhana only takes, let's say, anapanasati. Anapanasati only takes patibhaga nimitta. So at that time, how to contemplate anicca dukkha anatta? So he must come out from jhana first, then use his wisdom faculty to contemplate all the mental factor. When in the absorption, there are many mental factors. So they contemplate each mental factor one by one as it occurs as anicca, dukkha, anatta, as impermanent, suffering, and non-self, and attain liberation. Within the jhana itself, we cannot contemplate anicca, dukkha, anatta. What is the translation of Kong Wu Zixin in English?
No self nature.
No, that, I mean Kong, if say emptiness is okay, Theravada also say emptiness. Emptiness means selfless, non-self, non-self, that's okay. Then maybe sometimes refer to Nirvana also okay. But if according to Nagarjuna's view, he say, everything no zixin, that Theravada may not agree with him.
Because
so
that means in
Theravada,
there's no such term as no self-nature?
No, we have nothing, everything is no-self.
Correct.
Everything is no-self. Just paramattha and paramattha satya, ultimate truth and conventional truth. When conventional truth, there's a self. When come to ultimate truth, there's no self. So no self is also, sometimes we also call emptiness. Louder, please.
Is seeing past life and future life important for Vipassana?
Okay. Is it seeing past life or future life important for Vipassana? In Pao tradition, it is important. Beyond Pao's tradition, you know, very few people mention about past life, future life. Most people mention now, be mindful now, past already passed, future not yet come. So it depends on what tradition you are talking about. But seeing one's past life is important for everyone, in order to enhance your knowledge of cause and effect, karma. Because when you see your past life, then you understand many things. Why this life, I have good relationship with this person, bad relationship with this person. Why I have this type of sickness? Why I have this type of character? Why I'm so impatient, you know? So when you see your past life, then everything becomes very clear to you. Then your knowledge about cause and effect becomes strong, very strong. It's sometimes also helpful in Vipassana, because when the knowledge of cause and effect is strong, it means that non-self also, the knowledge of non-self also will become strong, because cause and effect has no self at all. So in certain way, it also helps Vipassana. It depends on individual's concentration. Some people, I remember I have one student, when she come for my retreat in Bodhidharma, Penang, after 4 days, she start to see her past life. So this is a special case. So depend on each person's concentration, also depend on certain parami. Certain parami, when you develop certain concentration, sometimes your past life just flashback. Flashback. Your memory flashback to the past, then all your past life episode suddenly appear. But that way of seeing past life is not systematic. Not like what is taught in Visuddhimagga or what is taught in Pao method. That way is more systematic. So I cannot say for sure whether by practicing metta you can see your past life or not. Some people can, some people cannot. Some people even not reach deep concentration, then the past life memory, the mind flashback or the past life memory just come up.
So, 可以讲一些话语。
可以啊，讲了这么多了，对。刚才他问是说，我们修持爱禅的时候，是不是可以看到过去式？啊，这个呢很难讲的。啊，要看到过去式呢，一般上要很深的定，比较深的定。但是有的人呢，没有很深的定，比如说一个学生他来了我的禅修营修了四天，突然间他过去式的发生的事情全部浮现在他的脑海中。他也没有进很深的定，啊，那有的人呢进了加纳，他也看不到他的 past life， 所以怎么说呢？啊 ，cannot say for sure， 不能够很肯定的说，我修这个我肯定可以看到 past life， 啊，而且看到 past life， 如果根据他的做法呢，他有一定的层次，比如说他上了四禅过后呢，他要看 past life， 他要先记，哦，昨天晚上。啊，发生什么事情？前天晚上发生什么事情？一直推，把他的记忆呢推到母胎的母亲的怀胎中，他看还记得吗？如果再记得，再推一下，就可以看到 past life。但有的人推也看不到。还有问题吗 ？Any other question？了解什么？
了解
啊，
怎么
修
禅啊，怎么
善念。我出来讲经的时候，我是从讲阿毗达摩开始的。我讲了十多年过后呢，我就决定不讲了。我爬到最高端，啊，就不要再上了。为什么我不讲呢？我觉得我要讲的也讲完了，我不需要再重复。啊，第二个原因呢，我觉得阿毗达摩，有他很好的，对一个 analytical 的人呢，啊，一个很喜欢分析、很喜欢思考的人，他们会特别的喜欢。那对于上了年纪的人来讲呢，叫他们去学阿毗达摩，我觉得太辛苦。那学阿毗达摩最好的，最好的一个优点呢，啊，当你学完阿毗达摩过后呢，很多你对佛法，以前呢这边东一块西一块的东西，突然间呢，横接了起来，你就看得非常的清楚。然后呢，学完阿毗达摩的那个无我，空无自性的无我。会变得很 clear 很清楚，所以他学阿毗达摩好处很多，但是呢，他因为他很详细嘛，所以如果上了年纪呢，会学得很辛苦。然后他跟整个解脱有关系吗？说完全没有呢，也不对，因为他很多也是来自于苏大的，他只是跟他分门别类啊，所以教起来会比较 boring， 因为他是一个分门别类，没有故事的，都是究竟法。没有讲你我他怎样啊，舍利弗尊者怎样，沙利布达怎样，那不跟你讲这些的啊。所以你们爱听故事的人就受不了了啊，这么 boring 的课程。但是那种比较 analytical、比较喜欢思维的人呢，就觉得这个阿毗达摩非常的殊胜啊。那跟整个解脱道呢有关系，但是你完全不懂阿毗达摩，难道就证不到涅槃吗？那绝对是不能够这么说的。很多人不懂阿毗达摩也是可以证到涅槃，阿毗达摩是辅助到的，辅助啊。最重要的是知识呢，最重要的知识还是苏大 knowledge。苏大的这个知识非常的重要，但是苏大呢，因为佛陀是对 individual 开示的，比如说这个 individual 这个人呢，佛陀因为他的这个萨比尤丹言啊。啊，他的智慧很高嘛，他看到这个人啊，知道他是贪根的啊，智慧的还是嗔根的哈，他就用特别适合他的方法跟他开示，所以那个人听了就证道了。啊， 所以这个苏大是专门对个别的人开示的，所以有时候听在我们的耳中啊，啊，我们听不明白，听不清楚，因为它不是对我们开示的，我们的 level 呢没有那个当初的那个 audience 的 level 这么高啊，所以我们看起苏大好像也是很 boring， 啊，也是听不懂，整天讲无常苦我，无常苦我，是也是听了也是觉得很 boring， 但是对当下的当佛陀跟他开示的人呢，他就是需要这样的法，所以他一听马上就证悟了。所以说有时候苏大看起来呢，我们也会觉得看不懂。那苏大看不懂的话，阿毗达摩更看不懂。这个就是为什么我们需要僧伽的帮助。那佛法僧呢，僧伽就是帮你们打开这条路的人。因为佛僧伽他一生中就花在他的精神心学都花在禅修研究经典那方面，所以他对经典的认识加上他自己禅修的经验呢，他可以把一个经讲得很清楚。佛陀不是说佛陀为什么讲不清楚，因为佛陀对那个观众他不需要讲这么清楚，那个观众那个听众就明白了。 It's not necessary to talk more than that，他这么讲他就知道他可以证悟，他就不需要讲到这么长期，但是现在不一样了，现在不需要，所以现在不一样，所以需要那些比较精通修行精通经典的人呢来跟你们怎么讲呢？解释得很清楚，你们才会，才会听得清楚。这个就是僧伽的可贵了。为什么出家人值得尊敬？因为他在这个弘法的过程中呢，把很多这个当初我们看不懂的东西，解释得非常的清楚。所以这个出家人跟在家人呢是互相扶持的，在家人呢在这个物质上支持出家人，出家人就把他的一生呢心血一生的时间呢花在修行花在研究经典，然后再把这个法呢传出来。所以呢这是在家人跟出家人的互相扶持的一个关系啊。所以你不用担心啊，不用上完出上车中车下车，你不用上也是可以证到涅槃，只要有你那个波罗蜜，有那个坚韧的意志力啊，精进的话，再遇到一个善知识啊，你也是有希望的，不需要花这么多时间，因为年龄占一个很大的因素啊，年龄是很重要的。现在年纪大，我们没有太多时间去学这些 details 啊。OK， 还有问题吗？有就快点问哦，争取时间。那没有我们就结束了，也不要勉强他们了。很多人就是这样啊，要结束的时候快点，就马上有了。
有一个问题就是通常我们。在家坐禅的时候会晚上做一次早上做一次，那晚上做一次通常说是会很爱睡会很疲倦，是不是晚上做一次好不好？
好不好
啊，是不是应该不应该还是不应该在要睡觉前吃啊？
OK 这个打坐呢什么时间应该做呢？一般上我们都说早上一次晚上一次，因为这个只有这两段时间你们得空嘛，对不对？其他时间要上班嘛，所以一般上我们都是这么说啊。但是也要看个人的啊，好像我自己呢我晚上绝对做不好，为什么呢？因为我觉得一天我们也一天都在思维都在上班，我的脑已经很累了晚上做的时候我的心很难定下来。但是早上呢我昨天睡了一个好觉，然后早上一起来又迷迷糊糊的，这个脑还不是很清楚的话，修定是最好的。修定就是不能够想太多嘛，所以刚刚起来什么都没有去想，还不是很清楚的时候，我们来修定的时候呢成绩最好。所以呢一般上我就比较喜欢早上做，晚上呢我就觉得我身体又累了，我们过午不吃身体也不够力嘛，所以晚上又累了，然后又思维了一整天了，觉得晚上对我来说比较难哦，但是这是对个人而已。有的人呢是夜猫子，他晚上精神特别好， 所以他就往上做，他觉得做得好，那也无所谓，啊，只是你常做得越好的话，你就越难睡觉，这是肯定的，因为你精神好嘛，你变成很难入睡，这有他的缺点，啊，那不能够入睡的话，明天要上班，你就会觉得有点受影响，所以看个人的，每一个人的生理的跟你工作的形式，然后你生理的需要、工作的形式以及你的个人的生活习惯，啊，看哪一个时间对你比较适合，哪一个时间做起来你觉得进步最快，那个就是你应该选择的时间，啊，但是什么时间那个不重要，重要是你在那段时间能够达到最好的效果，那个就是你的黄金时间了，啊，所以早上我平常都不会不喜欢 miss 掉，我情愿 miss 掉我的 breakfast， I'm not going to miss my meditation， 因为过了早上过了我就没有 我在坐堂的时间没有这么好了，啊，breakfast 不吃，下午吃多一点，中午吃多一点也是可以的，所以看你为什么，以什么为你的 priority。 OK， 还有吗？等一下我说最后一个，还有人在问呢。好，知道了，果然就有了。
During my first course of 10 days meditation, on the fourth day, I saw something that is related to the pain that I had. But now I still have those pain, but not as severe as last time. So what shall I do now to, in order to lessen the pain or stop the pain?
Okay. Can you bear the pain?
Yes, the most severe one I've gone through, after I saw the flesh of that part, I saw what happened to me, and it's related to the pain that I had. Then when I stood up, I was a different person.
Yeah, because you cure the cause. If you stop the cause that caused the pain in you, then your pain will disappear.
I still have it a bit. The moment I come to group sitting, it's more severe, but not as bad as those days.
Okay, that pain is it? Back pain or leg pain?
Leg pain, and it's right in the nerve, you know, the artery, and that kind of sharp pain. It's all running all over the second half of the body. It's like I saw what happened to me.
If you sit on the chair where the pain occur,
I have not tried, but sometimes when I sit like that, it's okay. But only when I'm at this gathering, the pain is so sharp.
So I have a few suggestions for you. One suggestion is you can sit on a chair and make a try. Maybe it improves, and maybe you get better concentration because of lacking pain. So you must keep your mind open first. Doesn't mean that I sit on a chair and I cannot make progress. You should remove this, fixed idea first. Because many people in America, many people sit on a chair, they have very good meditation experience. So first, I can suggest you try to sit on a chair if you cannot bear your pain. Secondly, if you can take the pain as your object, then you also can accumulate some concentration. Pain is a very good object because it's so painful, you cannot think of other things, you know? There's no restless at all. When I was so comfortable, the mind thing, this thing, that, it got very comfortable. But now pain is so severe, so you have to face it, know it, watch it, so it becomes your object of observation.
That's what I did.
Then it should help you to open your wisdom, because nothing is permanent. Nothing is permanent. The pain is moving. Then you, when you see the pain is moving, then impermanent, right?
Yeah.
Reducing. Then you contemplate impermanent. Then increase again, non-self, I cannot do anything. Then, so while observing the pain, you add in the contemplation. See how it impermanent, how I cannot control. Nothing, thing you cannot control means anatta, non-self. Thing you can control is self. Thing that you cannot control is non-self. So you can see your pain, how it moves, how it changes, then you see it's non-self. So when you accept non-self, then you can accept the pain with equanimity.
This is how you can learn from your pain. No pain, no gain. When come to meditation, everybody have to suffer from the pain. Some people suffer less, some people suffer more. So, and take this opportunity to train your courage to face the pain. When during dying moment, more pain. So we can take this pain easily. When death comes, we also can take that pain easily. So it's a chance for you to train your courage and with equanimity, and also with inside knowledge of non-self. I cannot control, right? It comes and it goes. So your duty is just watch, observe with equanimity. Then if your mind get agitated, then change to your mind, contemplate your mind. Forget the pain first, see your mind. How the mind react to the pain. Why my agitation comes? Because of this pain. Then sometimes you can reflect, when there's body, there's dukkha vedana, painful feeling. When there's body, there's painful feeling. If I don't want this body, if I don't want this pain, I should strive to a stage, no body one. What's that stage? So as long as you have this body, you have to endure. Buddha also have to endure. Sariputta, this morning I say, Venerable Sariputta say, I feel so disgusted towards this body. It's a heavy burden that I have to carry. He's Arahant. So to him, body is such a heavy burden. But his lifespan has not come to the end yet. So he has to endure. So we have to endure this heavy burden. 重担,负担. Any last question? Okay, now we stop here. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.